Welcome back to Ball Your Own Podcast. We got a little bit to talk about today. If you missed this past Sunday's pod, we had Chuck Frains part two on. He was an interesting guest with a bunch of different experiences, and we learned a bit about reffing in that one. You'll definitely have a different perspective on like reffing and ref life and what goes into it. But this coming Sunday we have NBA Jam Book, the author of that book. He's at NBA Jam Book, but he's Rayan Ali, and he was super interesting. Had a lot of good stories to tell. And that book was awesome. I know, we'll get into that a little bit later. But the Bulls did a little trade. You got rid of Lauri Markkanen. What do you think about the movements that happened the last couple of weeks here, Andy?
Yeah, no, I think that, that Bulls trade, I think it ended well for the Bulls, actually. You get a great athlete, Derek Jones, as well as some draft picks from the Cavaliers from – this year is kind of one of those years with them. You get a Lauri Markkanen in that deal, and I believe they sent Larry Nance to the Portland Trail Blazers. So it seemed to be even. If Lauri Markkanen can go there, maybe he can flourish. Maybe he'll stay injury free. And can help the Cavs. But one of those types of things where the Bulls, hopefully now with their new management, they can utilize the draft and can be a little bit more strategic. But always having more picks is good. For a team that's working to develop and see, kind of where they go in the future. And, we're going to need some role players or some young guys to come in, or those picks can be used as leverage, for other trades later on. So I think that the Bulls are making some decent moves, and they're really looking to build for the future.
Yeah, and that pick is lottery protected, but it's for 2022. So it's, the very near future. And, lottery protected for Portland probably still means under 20. So you probably could still snag, as long as it's not conveyed to the next year, that could get hairy. But the 2023 second rounder from Cleveland, that could also be like essentially a first round pick. That could be really early second rounder by that point. But I got a question about Markkanen. From afar watching him, he seems like one of those guys that kind of came into the league as a stretch five-ish, kind of stretch four-ish player. But since the evolution of like the stretch four, like Jason Tatum plays the four, like is he capable of guarding any fives or fours at this point? Or is that just,
it's so weird because like he's been having to guard the four because that's what position he was playing.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Like he came in as, in my opinion, one of those stretch fives. He's more like a Brook Lopez type player, mm-hmm. in my opinion. And I think that we just have got that wrong, about him. And he's been put up against mismatch after mismatch, especially with the four position being kind of a wild card pick. It can be, heck, if you play hard, you can be 6'5" and play the four now, like you were saying. Yeah. If you're Jason Tatum, you're a mismatch now at the four because you can put it on the ground with bigger guys that can't guard you, or, you can take the smaller guys in the post, so it makes it tough. But yeah, for him, it's always been an issue because he's a 7-footer, and yeah. Having to guard the guys consistently at 6'9" is, that's the hard, it's hard to deal with in the NBA,
it's
man.
It's hard to get that low.
And, so I think that you're right. I think he's a guy where if he goes to another team and he can play the five and have to guard fives and stuff like that, I think he's at a way more of an advantage and he could be used more, and I don't think he'll get hurt.
Yeah, no, he's definitely feels like a guy that is going to contribute offensively, but I still just worry about like defensively. But Cleveland moved out kind of a defensive anchor in Nance too, so that's a very negative defensive trade for Cleveland, I feel like. But the Blazers getting Nance is going to be interesting. Markkanen also, I was saying last week, Taco over there, like Nance moving out kind of makes room for maybe a Taco minute or two, like Markkanen next to Taco. But even then, that's like you could just end up with mismatch city. But yeah, they got Mobley and company over there. So it'll be interesting to see how many minutes he gets with, Mobley in town and stuff. And he's putting on weight though. So he might morph into that Brook Lopez, like you're saying, down the road here as he gets a little more thick, because he came in a little spindly too. But yeah, the other movement was our boy Sekou Doumbouya got moved to Brooklyn for 4 second rounders and DeAndre Jordan, who immediately got bought out and is a Laker now. So the Lakers keep stacking up old men with no knees. And Pistons move on from a guy that, you know, I thought was a promising project, and, you know, you get 4 second rounders out of it. So it's like, maybe their thought is like, well, one of these guys is going to be Sekou Doumbouya at least. So let's just, you know, get more shots at the board in the next like 4 or 5 years or whatever they're spread out over. It's a lot. But I mean, Sekou was a 15th pick in the draft. So it's feels like he's selling low in the third year of a project. And we were just at last week, the longest tenured Piston. Now he's gone.
Exactly. You know, and that I was really surprised by that. You know, I thought that he was going to kind of be a part of, you know, that Cade Cunningham crew and the young guys that they have, you know, and, you know, with his ability too, you know, he's a mismatch, you know, kind of guy. And if he keeps developing at the rate he was, he's a tough player to have. And he adds so much to your team. So I am a little surprised by that move, but, you know, maybe they, you know, obviously they have smarter people in their front office, I'd hope, than us, but we'll see if that move ends up paying off or not for them, you know. And obviously you want to see the kid have success, but it's just like for the Pistons to go away from that, especially, you know, with the young core that they're trying to build with, it was just a surprising move.
Yeah. And it wasn't like a win now-y kind of move. It's not like they're trying to, you know, help their chance of making the playoffs this year with, you know, rookie Cade Cunningham and a very good Jeremy Grant. Like, they just immediately bought out DJ. So they got literally nothing for it except for future second rounders, which, the other odd thing is Sekou's 2 or 3 years in the league is going to be his third year. He's only 20. So, like, he was your longest tenured player. He's 20. He's very promising, quote-unquote, unicorn prototype build with, you know, some flashes of skill. So it's kind of weird to just kind of sell low on him, but it also feels very Detroit-y. It's like Clippers fucking East. But then the other move that happened this past week or a couple days ago was Juancho Hernan Gomez is now a Celtic, which I actually kind of love. Chris Dunn and Carson Edwards removing the deal. Sad about Dunn because I, you know, he's kind of a local kid, played a PC and everything, and he I was hoping he might crack the rotation at some point. But Carson Edwards is similar to Tremont and Taco, and the fact that he got his kind of opportunity to develop for a couple years at the end of the bench didn't show much, so see you later. But that's just the nature of the beast, unfortunately. But the weird part of that trade was they swapped 2026 second rounders. Why would you bother swapping 2026 second rounders? Like, Stevens was like, nah, I want a little more juice. Like,
you know, because it could be one of those situations where those draft classes could be very strong from what they're predicting, you know, and they're the heck. I was reading all these other things, man. They got kids, you know, U15, you know, in Spain that they're talking and writing about. So, you know, maybe he sees something coming up the pipeline, man. I don't know. Brad is, you know, he's a little crazy. So he might have something strategic that they're planning, dude. You know, they got something cooking in Boston. Maybe they like one of the prospects, but yeah, it's an interesting pick. Like, why that year and why
5 years down the road? And like, you're probably changing 10 slots between the 40th and 50th pick essentially there. Like, I don't know. I mean, at that point too, 2026, like, John Morant's going to be an MVP candidate probably around then. Like, we might be worse than the Grizzlies by 2026. No, we got the Jays till then at least. So we're good. But, yeah, so that was interesting. I love Juancho Hernan Gomez coming to the seas because their big hole in our roster was like, all right, you got the two centers, you know, you got Al Horford and Robert Williams. That's your center depth. But your power forward depth was like Jason Tatum and then Bruno Fernando, Grant Williams. Like, was Grant Williams going to be our backup four all year? Like, I don't know. So, like, Juancho helps with that kind of rotation depth situation that we were looking at as a potential weakness. I like the kid. He plays well international games, and he can shoot the ball. He's a long guy. So
like him better than Grant Williams?
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I honestly haven't watched as much Juancho as I have watched Grant Williams, but I just like Juancho shoot. Like, Grant's had been very streaky shooting. Like, there was a stretch where he missed like his first like 27 threes, and they shot really well for a stretch, and they shot really horrible for a stretch. So, like, he's been very up and down in that sense. I think defensively, Grant probably gives you a little more versatility. But one of the things that like Grant was touted on, which is funny how this happens sometimes, is like, you know, this highly cerebral college player, you know, he's the senior, he's high IQ, he's Draymond Green. Like, you know, they always say that shit. And I haven't seen it at Grant really so far. So it's like a lot of the boneheaded things sometimes. There was a kid sharing clips of Grant from last year playing the Bucks that I totally forgot about, but he had a rough game against the Bucks. It was like turnover after bad mistake after bad defense. Like, it was rough. But they were all kind of IQ plays too. So it was like, So yeah, I'd have to go Wancho just on recency bias. He hasn't pissed me off yet, though.
I hear you. No, I feel that on the you know, the Williams kid. It's just with him, man, it was so crazy too when he came out of college and the fact that he was picked up, actually drafted. I was surprised, you know. I thought that he might have gone undrafted. He was really talented at Tennessee, don't get me wrong, but it was just like his style of play was just so like Tyler Hansborough like to me, you know. Mm-hmm. I would say his versatility dribbling the ball is obviously better, you know. And the three ball that he does shoot and incorporate into his game, but you know, I wouldn't have been a guy like, damn, let me draft him just
22.
Yeah, it was just like, I don't know, I feel like they could have got more out of that, I feel, that pick necessarily, but who knows, maybe he's a piece that you guys move now if Huntro can be tough, man, he comes in as and he like plays well.
Yeah, I think Wancho's got a good ceiling in terms of versatility and like that height and that length that can kind of help make up for his maybe his lack of defensive prowess compared to Grant in terms of switchability. But Grant's also kind of like barely an NBA athlete in terms of like, you know, bounce and twitchiness. So it's tough. That draft, he was 22nd. Bazley, Ty Jerome, Nasir Little, which at the time I probably would have been like Nasir Little, which is wrong. Jordan Poole was probably the pick there, or Kevin Porter Jr. Yeah. Poole and Jr. went 28 and 30 soon after that. But what it was is we should have fucking just took him Matisse Thybulle like we were talking about in that chunk pod, because that was two picks before that and we traded it.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
that was the Carson Edwards deal coming full circle on that shit. But Wancho was kind of like a quick buy and sell by the Grizzlies, because they just traded Pat Beverly to Minnesota for Wancho and Jarrett Culver, who, like, I'm shocked that Jarrett Culver got sold for freaking a bag of balls this early in his career. He, I guess, got his opportunity last year and they didn't like what he did with it. So,
yeah,
he shipped him out for PETA.
Yeah.
But,
that is crazy too on Jarrett Culver, because how high everybody was on him coming out of Tech. I mean, geez.
Same draft, sixth pick that year of the Grant draft in Siku.
Exactly, and had a great tournament, you know, and it just goes to show already out. Hopefully he, you know, this other opportunity is better. And where, hey, which team was it that he landed with?
Culver?
Yeah.
In the draft?
No. Just now. No, just now, because he left.
He's in Memphis now.
Memphis now, gotcha.
So, which might be, I mean, his defensive potential that was he was so lauded for, you know, coming in, maybe that's where it develops.
Definitely helped, you know, might help Ja Morant. You know, having Ja Morant playing next to you can help create, you know, a few more opportunities probably.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, hopefully he can take advantage of it. Because, I mean, hell, he was super talented. I would hate to, you know, see him fade out, you know, the league without doing much of anything. Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, he was sixth pick and Kobe White were right after him. I feel like we mentioned half this draft already.
You know, real quick,
mm-hmm.
to divert but the Nico Mannion, did you see what kind of happened with him with getting that virus over in Tokyo these last
couple of
weeks? And he lost a bunch of weight, man. So he, you know, because he left the Warriors organization to go play in Italy, you know, to go back to his hometown. So during that time, he was in Tokyo for the Olympics.
Wait, Nico Mannion's from Italy?
Yeah, so he was over playing in Tokyo. Oh. Yeah, and then he got the stomach virus and lost a bunch of weight, man. He was super skinny and, you know, definitely, you know, prayers to Nico, man, just hopefully to get back and playing the game that he loves to do, you know, and he does it so well. you know, and to see him take that, chance and opportunity and, you know, betting on himself to go to Italy, you know, was a big move for his career. And, you know, to kind of see this, I don't know if it's going to derail him, but it's definitely setting him back a little bit. So, you know, definitely, you know, thinking about that dude right now, and hopefully he can get back. I saw that on Twitter. So,
yeah, that's crazy. I'm just seeing this now. He looks like he, you know, has definitely something seriously wrong with him, but that's rough. I'm looking at this picture right now, and it's killing me. It's a Clutch Points article, and someone went through the freaking work of making this graphic, and it's terrible podcasting, but it's Steph Curry and who the hell is that other dude? Dylan Allen? Who the hell is that? Steph Curry and another dude who's on his Virtus team that they put like friggin' tear emojis underneath their eyes, like, and the kid's shirt, he plays for Virtus, but his shirt is kind of wrinkled, so it looks like virus. Like, that's some weird photoshopping. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah, I saw that.
People are screaming. But yeah, now hopefully hopefully everything works out for him. That's wild.
Yeah, man. So
that's tough. I mean, I don't know how you gain that. You know, he's probably gonna miss the season if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely gonna be missing sometime. You know, he's gonna have to gain that back, and you know, the lifting and all that stuff. I mean,
yeah, and he was already a smaller guy. Like, he's 6'2", like maybe 6'2". He listed 6'2", and you know, he already needed to kind of catch up weight wise, and we'll see. He was listed at 190 before. He shot all right last year, his rookie year, 37%. He's only 20, so that's crazy. But yeah, damn, that's tough. That's not the virus everyone's thinking about, but
no,
I wonder if that was like food, or does it say, have you seen where it's from?
No, it said in Tokyo. I saw the line, and you know, that he got it while he was in, you know, at the Olympics. So I'm not 100% sure. I'm guessing it had something to do with the food, though, man.
Water. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've read about people getting sick just from like eating rice because of the water that it was cooked in or some shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If not, definitely different. You know, some people are more sensitive to all that. And when, like, I know that I probably would be. So that's why it's like, oh, man, like, to hear that, it's like, dang, dude, that's so tough.
Yeah. Well, hopefully Nico Mannion gets attention he needs and the medicines. But yeah, I guess the other thing we should probably circle back on from last week is the Overtime Elite League. The start the conspiracy theory music, whatever conspiracy theory music sounds like. But the league was at 18 players when we talked about it last week. They're at 24 now, so they've signed 6 players in the last, you know, 5-ish days. And they're building out a team at least. They got 24 players, but it's still nothing else really new. No tickets, can't find schedule, no announcement of league date, no progress to be found on the stadium. They got some really nice words about what they're going to do academically this year, but
lots of that stuff, you know, the website looks great, you know, and I give them that, but it's just kind of like, you know, how do you plan on splitting these players up? Is there going to be a draft? Is it going to be who's coaching them? You know, you'd like to, you know, at least from the dates on the website and from what they've posted, you know, it is September 9th or 8th right now, you know, and like, we're going to be on the 9th, you know, tomorrow, you know, when this pod drops. So it's kind of like, what's the deal with what's going on here, man? Are these kids really signing? Are they signing away their eligibility? And are they, you know, risking all of that for nothing? You know, like that's my concern for this. Is this league planned to go this year? Maybe it's next year. I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, they've said this year, and they've signed kids like it's this year, but they've also said, you know, we're going to play. So it's super misleading because they call themselves the Overtime League, but they're not planning on being a standalone league. They're going to play other prep schools, but that doesn't make any sense if they say they're going to start in September. Like you're saying, it's September 8th right now. And prep school leagues don't start yet. Like, they don't have, like, they barely are back to campus. So, like, that's not how that works. I don't know how that was ever a plan. And like you're saying too, like, how do they split this team up? And now you got 24 kids and you're only going to play prep school teams. Like, so are you going to have two teams? Are you going to have three teams? Like, all these kids are going to want to play and be able to showcase.
Right. Exactly. That's going to be the thing with, like, playing. And which prep schools are all these kids playing against? Are they going to be playing against some of the better prep schools, or is this going to be, you know, like, you know, these homemade prep schools that they're making up and they just start traveling all over the place because they have some funds? Or are you going to be playing against the best? Like, and then you have three teams. So are all three of those teams going to be playing against the best? I'm not really sure that that would, you know, for some of these teams, it doesn't even make any sense to play overtime. Like, why would they play them?
Yeah. And it is like another thing of, like, do they put their eligibility at risk? I don't know if it's a state-to-state thing or what, or if prep schools are just kind of immune to all of it. But do they even have an incentive, or is there any penalty for playing essentially a professional quote unquote league? So that's all very confusing and seems pretty up in the air. I DM'd a certain person who lives in Atlanta and knows people in Atlanta that I won't say who he is, but you'll get to meet him someday probably. But he has said that there's still no sign of a stadium downtown. And, like, if you were starting a league like this in a town that loves basketball like Atlanta with guys like Trae Young behind it, wouldn't you be advertising that you were building this stadium or, you know, something? But there's nothing. So it's looking closer and closer to potential basketball fire festy kind of vibes. Like we were talking about earlier, like the names attached to this, like Kevin Ollie. You know, happy to see him get another opportunity, kind of wish it would be like at a real school. But Jay Williams, Carmelo, I mentioned Trae Young earlier, Avery Johnson, which I don't know if that helps the legitimacy.
Big time. You know, Avery's, you know, he's on a lot of, like, recruiting, especially, you know, he got Colin Sexton, bro, at Alabama. So,
right. That's Avery. Funny. I wonder, so is he still working with Alabama, or is he done with Alabama now?
No. He got fired a while ago. He's back. Right. But he did get some of the better players to come through there. So he's always got players, man. So I know that, you know, having all those type
bag.
Yeah, it's instrumental.
The more he's going to a place where he can legally drop the bag now.
Exactly. Not get fired for it. So. Yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what really happens. You know, they say that those guys are on their board of directors, but I mean, how involved are they? Or is that just a title on the web, you know?
Yeah, or is that just a name so that someone wrote an article about it? So that's the weird thing, is like the only articles you see are from like a while ago, or it's just like, oh, new player signed, this player signed. So that's it. That's all that's out there. It's crazy.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where we're going to see where, you know, these next months are going to be really instrumental, like to see, you know, if they're able to get more players, you know, through this month and how they kind of want to structure this league out. You know, hell, I would make it a 3-on-3 league and just see what happens.
Be the little three. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Let's roll. Like, get creative as hell, because, like, dude, as much as everybody wants, I mean, this 5-on-5 thing, like, no one cares at the end of the day, man. Like, I mean, it's like, I get it, but like, if college has to find a way to make this work, otherwise nobody, your average person is not going to watch the overtime league. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it just makes it really tough. So they're going to watch, they know, and then that's just kind of it. They've developed tradition. They've developed so much with, you know, and invested so much in the team they're already watching it. It's just so weird for me for the NCAA not to try to figure this out.
Yeah. You
know? So.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA, they just got a, was it Shaden? Who's the kid that just signed with Kentucky? Shaden Johnson? No.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I did see that.
Shaden Sharp, right? Yeah. Yes. He's nice. He's interesting looking prospect. Good shoot off the dribble guy. Super athlete. 6'5", 6'6", guard. Uh-huh. You know, he might still grow an inch or two. He looks young. He looks like a more developed, like, Malik Young, taller Malik Young kind of coming in. Malik Monk, yeah, coming in, yeah.
But Malik Monk, though, yeah, you're right, man. He was super skilled.
The bounce, it is like that. Off the dribble shit.
Bigger, yeah, definitely. I like that comparison. Yeah, I'm excited to see what he does. And I'm not a Kentucky. I absolutely cannot stand Kentucky for this. Just the fact that it's just like I like how many good players come in there, but they still at the end of the day run literally nothing. Even the actual run, it's just like, whatever.
College tends to be like that. I feel like
it's just so boring. But like I do like him. I think he's gonna be special. And I think Kel does do a good job when he has like a special player, making sure to get him the ball and letting them be themselves. I think Kel is one of the best for that. So I think this was a good fit. And, you know, Kentucky getting back on the board, like getting like the players that they used to get that were going to Duke, man. Like all Duke has been stealing.
Yeah, Duke's been getting a bunch of number ones. I think this was the first number one that they got since like Anthony Davis or something like that.
It's been New Orleans.
Since New Orleans. Yeah. It's crazy. Since like 2012 or whatever it was when he was coming up. Yeah.
New Orleans, yeah, man, because they got Davis. It was 2012, and craziness, man, insane. So, now it's going to be, you know, college basketball is going to be an interesting this year. It is a lot of good players. Yeah.
Maybe over time, Ali will just have to,
dude,
figure out a way to just play college kids. No,
I swear they're going to be ended up playing JUCOs, bro. It'll end up in one of those situations where they just are running and playing JUCOs and just trying to pick up scraps because they couldn't figure out.
And like Team Australia B team come over to play them.
Dude.
The NBL, the New Zealand Basketball League's All-Stars.
They're not going to have enough money. They're going to realize how much it costs to just like rent out an arena. Like,
well, that was the thing too. My whole conspiracy theory is that this overtime thing was a media company that was a startup that got a little money, got like 40, 50 million. And then they had all this COVID stuff happen. High school sports kind of shut down. And they got like that investment was in 2019 that they got like 40, 50 million. And then obviously high school sports shuts down. They don't have any coverage, anything to cover really, because they were high school. Like they were trying to be just high school. And then they had to pivot somehow. So in 2020, they decided to pivot to a league at some point along the way. I think it was probably late 2020 because April 2021 is when they got the $80 million from like the Bezos and the Drake and like Trae Young and like all these people like throwing money at them because they said they were going to do a high school league and they've called it a league. But now you see on their website, the verbiage, they're getting away from that. They're calling it overtime elite. They're very rarely saying league now. And it's like, and the other thing is like, these are the two dudes that started Overtime, the media company. One of them was like a Warner something media exec, some media company I hadn't heard of. But he who had branched off to start this new high school sports company. And then the other guy is just like some sort of, in the article I saw, he was described as a chess champion entrepreneur. Like, cool. So he's a rich dude. He just does rich dude things. Like, word. So it's like, it sounds like the ultimate investor fucking fire festy scam to me. So far.
I'm wondering when it's all going to come out and when we're going to get some more information on, you know, what they plan to do moving forward. You know, because like I said, it's not growing. Like,
the next episode is going to be September 17th. If there ain't anything concrete by then, or September 16th, that's going to be halfway through the month. And they said they're going to start the league and have a facility. Like you were saying with the money, though, I forgot to get that. 103,000 square foot facility in downtown Atlanta is what they said they were building. 400 new construction jobs. You only got an $80 million investment. As much as $80 million is a lot of fucking money. Like when you go into like paying everybody and probably paying off the debt from COVID that, you know, part of the transition stuff. And then you go, you know, paying all these players, they almost got $80 million worth of fucking contracts agreed to. Never mind a whole facility. Like, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. It's so weird.
So yeah, man, I'm very excited to see how this is going to unfold. And, you know, honestly, too, what is the NCAA's move if these players, you know, don't end up playing in this league? you know, is
yeah, they just take him back and be like Mulligan?
I mean, everybody at this point, like, it seems like they should if that happens, because like otherwise all those kids would have never, you know, without the promise of money. And, you know, but this is a great lesson for everybody to learn if that's what this is because, you know, not everything is real, you know, and it's just like goes to show, like, I really hope that this is, because obviously it'd be fun as hell to watch like all these players play.
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get us wrong. If this works out, I'll be watching it. I'll be trying to find that stream, but like so yeah. far, like you were spot on when you said, you mentioned this like 2 weeks ago now, 3 weeks ago. You're like, have you seen anything on the overtime league? Like, what the fuck is going on with that? And then I like started diving deeper. I was like, oh, this is weird. There's so many angles of this being weird. Yeah. But all these people are just kind of like advertising it. I don't think really looking into it too hard.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's the thing. It's just been oohing and eyeing over the players, man.
Yeah.
That's the
smoke. Writing articles about kids.
Yeah. And that's kind of the smoke screen right now. And, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, moving forward. And, you know, hopefully for these kids' sake, you know, something really gets out of it and they can play and, you know, they can, you know, reap the benefits of, you know, how good they've become. You know, and hopefully they can keep improving, because that's also the name of the you know, you haven't made the league yet, you know, it's like.
Yeah, I guess then, yeah, you see like, you know, 6'1" guards or, you know, there obviously is the occasional like prototype build kid, but like all these dudes like the Damian Lillards that come into the league, like they didn't get to the league by being complacent like, or like, you know, not improving every year and exactly. Like, building on everything. Yeah. So that's. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I did see one good thing I saw is one of the players did like an overtime league / summer blog thing. And it was on Sports Illustrated. I forget the kid's name. I'm not going to be able to find it right now. But anyways, this kid kind of did like a, you know, this is what I did this summer kind of journal for Sports Illustrated. And it was interesting. It was kind of quick and like didn't in the tease of the article it said, oh, he gets into the recruitment of overtime, and that's what got me to reading. So I was like, what did these guys do? But he didn't really get into that much, but he did mention that his dad is there in Atlanta with him, so like maybe that you know would seem a lot better than just like, okay, let's just send all these kids, because like, I mean, kids get sent to boarding schools and prep schools every year, like that's normal, but like with the situation being so seemingly half-baked that it's at least reassuring that like maybe they're including families in this somehow. I mean, they're giving them a bunch of money. I mean, if my 16-year-old kid was like, dad, I'm gonna get $100K to go play basketball over here, can you come? I'd be like, yeah. Welcome to your apartment.
Thanks, man. No, so that's encouraging. Yeah, you know, so as long as, you know, they're, like I said, is the more they communicate, especially with the people involved, the better. You know, so I mean, hell, if we don't know all the background and we're just obviously speculating and, you know, talking about it here just to create conversation, but, you know, it could be a situation where they're just kind of keeping it between them and the families. And, you know, then they come out and bam, here we are. Now we're playing. They've got, you know, their situation and their setup going, and, you know, then it all works out. So, you know, they've got a lot of people involved that are obviously smarter than us, you know, me for sure. So I'm, you know, interested to see how it develops. But right now, man, it's, you know, from my standpoint and the communication I would want to have, at least, you know, being a fan potentially, I'd want to know what's going on, man. I want to know.
I legitimately want to buy tickets. And yeah, you can't find them. Like, I won't find the schedule. It just doesn't exist. It's so weird.
That's the part that's weird, you know, and that's where it's like, you know, that's where you see leagues fail right away, is the organization is bad or they're not meeting deadlines that they talked about, because it's not growing, though, as fast as I think they thought it would grow. Mm-hmm. I just think with this, you know, with the NLI, you know, it's like, I don't know how you know, certain companies are going to just have more than Overtime Elite can offer.
Yeah, you mean the NIL, the name, image, likeness. Like, yeah, that's that whole thing definitely is a monkey wrench into their whole plan. Like, could also be kind of biting off more than they could chew. And like I was talking about, you know, sometimes you just pivot as a company, as a startup, so you can get investors to buy in for a couple more years. And maybe they made some promises that are really more than a year out. But, you know, We'll see how the pilot goes. I'm still hoping there's a Google result for the main things I try to find out at some point in the next month. But yeah, like you said, I'm just an idiot with a Google and questions. Like, I don't know anything. I don't know any of these people, but I do know some guy in Atlanta who doesn't think that there's a stadium being built either.
Have questions, man.
Talking about questions, man. Ben Simmons still a Sixer as of this week. That's a story that there doesn't seem to have been any like real like substantial developments, like not like last week where like Embiid and Simmons were both talking. But in the last 24 hours, let me read you some articles, just headlines.
Yeah.
NBA trade rumors. Cavs want Ben Simmons, could include Markkanen and deal. And then there was another headline that was the market for Ben Simmons is dry. from the last 24 hours. Wow. And then another one that says new trade suggestion as Sixers moving star Ben Simmons to the Nuggets. And then another from 20 minutes ago that says Trailblazers are the betting favorites to land Sixers Ben Simmons. So that's four teams. That's five articles, four different teams mentioned as like favorites. And then the fifth one said that the market's dry. So like, what the fuck is going on?
I'm telling you, man, I think Ben Simmons right now is public enemy number one, unfortunately. And
clickbait target number one. Yeah,
clickbait right now, dude. It's crazy. Like, you know, they're hating on an NBA all-star. Like he in a defensive, like all defensive team. He's super valuable to have. And honestly, like, I don't really even care about the jump shot at this point. Like, I'm not that type of, like, I get it. Certain players are just not going to have that, you know, at whatever point or stage they are in their career. And that's cool. Like, I'm not really worried about it because of what he brings, you know, to the team and all of that. You know, I just think that as far as the Sixers go, they had too many other players that didn't possess, you know, what really makes him shine. And that's having shooters around them.
Yeah, I think you can point a finger at all the GMs through Sixers or Simmons Sixers tenure.
Yeah,
for sure. Like I think like we mentioned, like Simmons and Embiid, you should be able to just throw shooters around that and it should work. But they've missed on a lot. They've missed on some draft picks. It's crazy how and like I also was thinking today, like it feels like we've had like 4 or 5 years in a row of like offseason Sixers dysfunction, whether it's burner accounts, Markelle Fultz, injury trainer issues with Simmons and Embiid, like, you know, Doc Rivers controversy or whatever. Like, it's just like, it's at some point you got to be like, maybe the Colangelos or whoever, you know, is pushing all the buttons back there are really the ones with the blame on the situation.
I'm telling you, that's like you're saying, like,
I'm more of a jumper stickler than you, but I 1000% agree. Like, I'm just more of like sad that he hasn't developed one, because I think he would be like the best player in the league if he just developed a 15 footer. But at the same time, I 1000% agree that he, you know, his value is ridiculously low right now. Mm-hmm. Like it should never have ever cratered to this level. Like you're looking at people being like, oh, Dame Lillard for Simmons isn't even on the table. Like the freaking Kings said no Tyrese Halliburton and no De'Aaron Fox in their trade deals with Simmons. Like, you got to give up at least one, if not both of those, if you're trying to get Simmons in there. But, like you're saying, I think wherever he goes or if he stays, like, defensively, like, it tends to balance out. It tends to figure it's – or, you know, still be an extreme advantage in terms of what Simmons brings. It's definitely a clickbait, click target – number one at the moment. The Kyrie and Durant articles have run out for the summer, so
thank God
everybody's digging in their bag for some Simmons talk. But I don't know, man, doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, I think that's pretty disrespectful, dude. I think he's a really good player, and I think he will eventually develop this jump shot. I just think he needs somewhere else to go that's gonna, you know, believe in him and buy into what he wants. And you know, if not, you know, if he doesn't get what he wants, is this a situation where he doesn't play this year, or what do you think happens, man? I don't understand.
That would be funny if he did some Kawhi stuff, you know, just kind of was like, all right, well, I'm going to set out to trade me. But it is also weird too, because it's like, if he really wanted to get moved, I know it's like, you know, you can't fast forward your processing of your season and your emotions on your situation. So like, if he really wanted to get moved and Clutch really wanted to move him at the end of the season, probably mention it a little, or like mentioning it 3 weeks before the season, or not 3 weeks, but 3 weeks before training camp, is just like, they did everything in their power to crater his value as much as anybody too. It's like, Clutch, what are we doing? Like, don't you want to make money on this or no?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy that I don't know if there's a deal that's going to get done, man, fast enough. I just don't.
Yeah. What do you think like makes sense in terms of like would Dame Lillard make sense in terms of fit and trade wise? Or like value wise, like I still feel like maybe Dame and like Nurkic or something, you know, as like an insurance for Embiid or something out there. See, it'd be cool with McCollum, but
yeah, you know, I don't know if the Blazers would be a great, you know, a great spot for him, but you know, having a former pro over there that's played in an era of, you know, posting up and figuring out like different strategies to do, you know, maybe it could be, but. For Damian Lillard, I mean, I don't know if I'd, you know, you work to do everything to make sure you could keep Dame, you know, so.
Yeah, ethos-wise, they almost.
Kings surprised me. I mean, like, why not? Halliburton.
Yeah, Halliburton had a great season last year and does show promise, but Jesus, dude, like, he had a 6'10 version of him, though.
Yeah, dude, like, I don't understand that necessarily, you know, because, like, I like Halliburton, but. You know what it is like? Was he a rookie this year? Or was this his second year?
This is his rookie year, but
yeah,
you know, he was first team all rookie. Like he was a stud all year.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like a great player, and that's fine with me. However, now this is the league though. Like yeah. Now there's 82 games or however many games he ended up playing this year of tape, and guys are gonna be watching. Guys know too now that he's like, hey, he is a you know supposed rising star. So. They're going to have some different stuff for him. And I want to see what that sophomore year is like, because that's one of the tougher years in the league, you know, just to kind of – you're still trying to figure out your role and establish yourself. You know, he's going to have a bigger role with the Kings. You know, he's going to be expected to do more each night. It's not going to just be like, well, hey, I had some good game. I had great games, you know, throughout the whole year. Now it's like you're supposed to have that all year. And now we need more than that too at times, you know, to help get over the hump because they're the fucking Kings. You know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah. I mean, they're like trying to make a package around Hield and Bagley. Like if I'm the Sixers, it's like, no, that package starts with Halliburton and Fox, you know, we'll probably take Hield too.
Dog, like, but, man, like none of those guys have been all-stars. None of the, like,
no, it's still not a fair package. I'm talking like you got to throw picks and stuff in too. I'm not just saying the players, but it's still like just the Kings are king. They're just the Kings, man. Decisions.
They have enough young talent that they could trick somebody. I swear to God, because all that young talent is not going to pan out. It's just not going to pan out.
Yeah. I mean, we already seen Marvin Bagley. Not panning out already, and he kind of needs to relocate.
Yeah, he's horrible, bro. Like, what the heck? He was the most. He was the player of the year in college. Yeah. Stinks.
Yeah. Now he hasn't developed a bit, and now he's become like kind of a. Not a distraction in the locker room, but you know, him and his dad kind of like grandstanding and wanting to get out of Sacramento and talking shit doesn't help. It's like, you're not good enough to be causing all this mess.
Dad's involved. Unbelievable.
Get your dad off the stage.
It's like a dad in the NBA. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's that AAU culture, man, that these dads, bro, these handlers think they can still show up in the NBA and talk about.
Like, the only one who can. Yeah,
as LeVar. He's always right. Damn. All these other dads are always wrong because they don't know nothing. LeVar, man, hey, he at least played, you know, some bench minutes. You know, he knows what it takes. I don't care what people say. He was able to mentally, you know, get those dudes right. I seen, just to go off topic a little bit, saw a little episode on him and what he was doing, you know, and what he talked about and what he would tell his kids, like, yeah, you're just mentally not right. Like, you're mentally messed up, and that's what's going to hold you back. You don't hear a lot of dads saying that, man. They're always talking about, oh, your stats, this, your stats, that. And, you know, he's like, yeah, you're already going to get that. Like, I don't care about that. But it was more about the mental part, and, like, his approach to the day was messed up. you know, and so it was cool to see that kind of.
If I'm LaMelo and I got a million Instagram followers and, you know, shoe company already at 14 and playing pro by 15, I probably would be a little mentally
Man.
Off the keel too. No, I wouldn't be as focused as I'm probably supposed to be either. Like, Dad, what came first, chicken or the egg? No,
that's the crazy part, dude. Like,
your fault. No.
And what's crazy is that the kid actually, like, he panned out exactly.
Yeah, dude, he's the best. He's unreal, and he's so funny. He's so well adjusted to like the lifestyle and everything.
Yeah.
Too, so it's pretty funny. It's cool. Plus, I mean, LiAngelo's on the team now. He got his wish came true. LeVar's wish came true with LiAngelo and LaMelo together. They got to get Lonzo over there eventually, but
oh wow,
that would be a
dude. I would love for them all to come to the Bulls.
I mean, hey, yeah. Did you move LaVine for LaMelo? No. Sign and trade? No. So move him before LaVine, the extension even?
Dude, I don't know what's up with LaVine, man. He's been training with a new crew.
I heard he's leaning towards signing.
Really?
I heard he's leaning towards signing the extension now, yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing with that. And so, man, that's going to be a new era in Chicago, man. Does Coby White stay long term? There's Zach Stein.
I think it makes sense to try to keep Coby White around. You know, even if you could almost run small ball at times and push LaVine to the three. Put Coby on, the one or the two. Lonzo at the one or the two as well. I'm looking here trying to see if I can find this extension thing. Oh yeah, he is with Clutch now. I don't know, that signing with Clutch might actually be the opposite. Do you think so? Like, let's say LaVine's available for the extension. Like, he's one of those guys that I look at as like, maybe he's not worth 35-40 million. I don't know if any player can be worth like kind of like the John Wall contract, like 45 million is what he's gonna be getting this year, which is ridiculous. But he's one of those dudes that may be worth it down the line just because he improved so much. Like, he came in the league not a knockdown shooter. Now he's 40% like three baller. He's a ball handler. I don't know how he's improved defensively, but I don't watch enough Bulls games for that. But what do you think he's worth that money at the end of the day anyways? Like the 40 million a year by the end of the deals?
As a player and his skill and how he develops and how much he, you know, where he's and loves his craft, yes. However, the reason I say no is because I'm not sure if he's a winner, man. Like, is he really a dude that's going to win? And, like, at the end of the day, I mean, if you're a Bulls fan, it's like, dude, you know, I remember winning championships. You know, that's what I remember about the Bulls. I don't remember – you know, I remember Derrick Rose and those playoffs and the Ben Gordons, you know, before that with, you know, their runs. And, you know, even with, you know, with the Jamal Crawford Bulls that would like try to make their push, you know, even those days, you know, when the Bulls were terrible, you know, fine. But like, I remember the championship part, you know, so I want a guy that's going to come in and do that, you know, and want to win championships and not a guy that's kind of coming in here and playing for money. And for me, I think his career is super based on coming in and proving people wrong and making, you know, and then making his splash. And I think, you know, everybody said he can't shoot, so he got better at shooting. Everybody said he can't, you know, so maybe, hey, if they say he can't win, maybe that's the next step and we'll see kind of how his mindset shifts. But if he doesn't start talking about winning championships soon, because I've never heard him talk about that, then I think it would be wise for the Bulls to, you know, save their money and go after something else and kind of get a new mindset in Chicago, you know, otherwise, because that's why I see this Lonzo Ball is going to come in and hopefully change guys' mindset. But I don't know. I don't know if Zach's going to 100% buy into, you know, not bringing the ball up, you know, and in the break and Lonzo just throwing that thing up and guys missing a layup and Zach's wide open on the wing. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's where I think Zach's going to have trouble, bro, because Lonzo's like, dude, if he's open, I'm throwing it to them, bro. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if he misses it, okay, cool. I'm coming back to him again. Zach's the type, like, if I do pass to you and you don't score, fuck it, I'll just do it myself.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's
my bet, in my opinion.
Like you're saying with the W's thing, the Bulls haven't been over 500, I don't think, ever in Zach LaVine's career. I looked this up. Last time they were over 500 was 2015, 2016. With D-Rose, Bobby Portis, Joakim, Doug McDermott. You got Jimmy Butler, obviously, was leading that squad. Old man Powell, like, Taj was still there. Fucking Kirk Heinrich, Captain Kirk was still Captain there. Like,
Kirk, wow.
Bro, that is so – that feels like – that roster feels like so long ago.
Yeah, that's only about
– Aaron Brooks.
Love it. And Aaron Brooks from Oregon, little guy, 5'7". Oh, yeah. Cooking out there, man. Yeah, you know, and those were a fun – that was a fun Bulls team to watch, you know, real intense. And a shout out to Bobby Portis, you know, one time for winning the title. But he also brought that toughness with Joakim Noah. You know, he was really about it. And then he punched, Mirotić in the face,
yeah.
Broke his jaw. So that wasn't a good look. And that was kind of the downfall, though, of the Bulls, man. That's when that team started to disband and that was kind of the end of, you know, the road with that. But, yeah, man, I don't know. If he doesn't start talking about championships, I don't really see him being a good fit there because Lonzo's going to want to win titles. I think DeMar DeRozan is at that point in his career. Definitely. He just paid the guy. But I think he's at the point where, hey, I want to win titles.
And I think he's still pissed he wasn't part of that Toronto thing and was
pretty
much the reason then that happened.
Yeah, man, because I just don't think he had the right mindset in Toronto. I think his mindset there was the same as Zach LaVine's is right now. And so hopefully he can kind of guide him.
At least DeMar was, like, happy, you know, making the playoffs. LaVine doesn't even, like it's – I was thinking about that when you started to mention that. I'm like, I don't have a single memory of, like, Zach LaVine in the playoffs. He's in his, like, seventh year or something. And, like, I don't have a single memory of, you know, and that, like I was saying too, like, you know, the improvement is one thing, but, like, if you improve and your stats are improving, your game's improving, but you're losing more games every year, which is kind of have been LaVine's Bulls tenure, like, that, is that an improvement? Like, you know, and then you have guys like, and I always bring back to the Celtics, but a guy like, you know, Tatum or Brown who, like, improve every year and the team's winning more games every year as they go along. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a, you know, impact stats versus empty stats kind of thing. And like you're saying with how Lonzo might be the fix, because Lonzo's is, you know, UCLA buddy, like California pals, like maybe that is the fix to get him mentally, you know, in the make the winning play headspace rather than, like, you know, maintain the hoop mixtape god status. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's very funny kind of reading all these and listening to these Bulls previews and season previews, power rankings and all that stuff that all these outlets have coming out right now. Because if people are all over the place with the Bulls, they're like anywhere from like third or fourth to like eighth seed.
I see that. So it's like you said, they're a wild card. They got a three guard monster from LA in Chicago. So that's pretty cool. We'll see though, if that LA mentality, if it works out right in the blue collar city in Chicago. So, you know, we'll see how it works, you know, year one, you know, and then we'll see kind of how everybody kind of makes their moves. But I think this is going to be the deciding factor to try. I think this was to their best move to try to keep Zach here, you know, because before I think that there was no chance that we would keep him.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's at least the silver lining is, like, you know, it was going to be blow it up in rebuild mode if they didn't pull off all this stuff. And yep. As much as sometimes, you know, it's fun to watch the guys develop and to start a new era, like you're saying, like maybe the LaVine era ain't it anyways. It's brutal to watch. Like, you guys have been winning 25 games a year for like 4 years now. It's tough to be like, oh, we're going to have to reset again. It's like, what the hell have we been doing?
I know. But, that's the frustrating part about this whole situation. So
yeah, hopefully they're onward and upward this year, but we'll see. I'm going to be excited to watch them. But speaking of onward and upward, what are you up to today?
Not much here, man. We're going to probably get out and go to the Nike outlet, I think, get some shoes for the kids. And then grab an early dinner just because, like, this week at work has been, you know, just super slow. And, you know, like, I'm on calls all day. So just after a while, like, you know, you're not getting enough of these calls you make, all the calls you need to make in the morning, get it all done early, and then, you know, take the afternoon to go get something, get some stuff done. So that is what I'm going to do. I'm going to head out of here probably around 4, give it an hour or so, and then head to the mall. How about you? What you got going?
I mean, we might have to hit a movie tonight or something, because it's been a rainy day here somehow. We've had a good stretch of sun, so we needed some rain anyways. But I love it when you get to revisit something that, like, you know, you already kind of know about, and it's not fresh to you anymore, but it becomes kind of like fresh and interesting again because it's someone else experiencing it for the first time, kind of thing. And Kelly decided to deep dive MJ in The Last Dance this week, so she's been putting The Last Dance on in the background while we've been hanging out, working and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to just spending an afternoon watching some classic MJ Rodman, Phil Jackson stories, and, you know,
yeah,
trips down memory lane. But from what was that, like 8 months ago or whatever? Or no, yeah. Was that last summer that shit came out?
No, that came out during COVID, man. They
that was last summer
in April.
Dude, time's warp.
Yeah.
Ever since the Coco, the time has warped.
It really has.
Yeah, it's September 8th, 2021, and we still don't know how to go to an overtime league game. So, we're going to play about smart. all right. Well, we got NBA Jam Book, the author of the NBA Jam Book on this weekend, Rayan Ali. He has a really, really interesting background and story of how he got into video games and basketball and all that stuff. Super, super cool dude. And it was fun to hang out with him a few weeks ago. So we'll drop that this weekend. And
yeah, man. Thanks, thanks guys for coming on. Make sure you follow us at BYRP365 on Instagram and Twitter. You know, and be sure to go, you know, on and subscribe, and, you know, please rate and comment, you know, on this. It'll definitely help us out a lot. You know, to be able to get this out to more people and have others hear, you know, these stories, man, because these stories are really used to, you know, inspire others to be great and, you know, whatever it is that you're doing. And these are a bunch of different examples on how people, you know, use that to kind of, you know, get to the place they are and beyond. I mean, all these people have more goals. So it's been great meeting them, and Rayan's phenomenal. He was a blast getting ready to, you know, doing the interview and, you know, just sharing and being so open to sharing what he's been through and, you know, the ideas that he's had with this, you know, this book. It's super creative and well put together, man. It's a great book. So make sure you guys definitely check that out on Sunday, and, you know, please like, subscribe, and rate.
Yeah. Care tell about. A friend. Tell a friend.
You guys have a good day.
See you.